Hello, everyone. Welcome to Christmas Clatter. We are past Halloween. We are past the election. We are straight on a collision course for Thanksgiving, or pre-Christmas, as I like to call it. And this is really the time of year when things really fly by. I really appreciate everybody being here and tuning in to listen. Hey, Dwayne, thanks for hopping in the chat. And man, for those that are just listening to the podcast, I had got a late start, had some things happen. This episode is not quite what it's going to was supposed to be. I have a guest that was trying to log on several times. Some severe internet problems kept arising, so I've had to reschedule with her. And hey, Ben, and and so we're going to pre-record that one, and it'll come out like the episode did on Monday, where it's just a pre-recorded episode of Christmas Clatter. And literally, it was like 3 minutes before I went live to record this episode. And I'm like, man, I've already done a couple of solo shows, and I needed a guest and things. And I was like, man, time to call in the bullpen. And so I got a couple of Christmas heavy hitters. I wasn't sure. Maybe one of them is right-handed. Maybe the other is left-handed. That way I have my bases covered if we're going to continue with the baseball analogies. But yeah, it's like who would be available to talk Christmas at the drop of a hat? And my first inclination paid off. So guys, without any further ado, let's see who these super subs are for Christmas Clatter, and to talk some Christmas and to see what they're up to. Hey, Arnie, Doug from Pepper Tree Villa. Thanks so How's much for hopping on the very, I mean, everybody says last second, but it was literally last second.
This was literally like
seconds. Yeah, seconds. I was like, I'm reeling here.
I had to unplug the glue gun. I was gluing stuff together for some of our Christmas decorations. Okay, let me unplug this.
Yeah. But I really appreciate it. D&G Explorers are eating dinner and listening to us. Awesome. So that's fantastic. Hey,
yes, we just finished watching the show.
Yeah, that's fantastic. I appreciate it. But yeah, I was like, I just sent Arnie a quick text. Hey, you want to be on Christmas Clatter in about 3 minutes? He's like, sure. So it was scramble. And I'm like, we'll just talk about
glue.
Yeah. So you have a cordless glue gun?
Oh, God, no.
No, nothing fancy like Sherry.
No, nothing fancy. Yeah. Old-fashioned-y.
Yeah. Well, all the glue just runs out all over the floor if you don't watch it.
Yeah, it will. It'll just rip.
So how is the forest coming along? I know you guys did talk about it on your show on Mondays. But yeah. How's it coming along for those that maybe haven't heard?
Well, here at Pepper Tree Villa, we start decorating. This year we started decorating on Labor Day. Labor Day weekend we started because we had a goal of doing more trees than we've done before, and mm-hmm. we really surpassed it. Last year we did 34, and well, we called it 34 and a half, but it's really 35.
Yeah. Uh-huh. When it takes you more than 45 minutes to do a 3.5 tree, it's a tree.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we now have 46 trees on display, including the one that's rotating behind us. They are peppered throughout the house. They even have it in the guest bathroom. We love setting up trees just everywhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's everywhere.
So there are three in this room right now. There's one, well, this one behind us. Yeah, there's one up above Doug's head right over here. Okay. That's our anniversary tree, just whatever anniversary is going to be celebrated that year. And this year is the 30th anniversary of the Lion King.
Oh, okay.
And then we have another one over off camera which is the Hallmark Decades tree. Starting in 1990, they started doing just various ornaments with critters and let's see.
This is the first, I'll get the first year.
1990, they did like these brass numbers through the 90s. Then in 2000, they started to do.
So here's the 90s.
Snow themes.
Oh,
so
nice.
So they did a decade. So this is the first one. And we got them all through the 90s. And this is just this year.
Yeah, this is this year. It's more of a gumdrop
look. So this was the 90s, was a critter with a brass.
But the 90s were brass. 2000 was, it was like ice. Okay. And then 2010s was a snow theme.
Okay.
Yes.
And now they're doing a gumdrop. So
that's fantastic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, we start setting up Labor Day weekend and we just work room to room. We have over 6,000 ornaments on display.
Oh, I thought it was
With over 10,000 lights.
Uh-huh. And everything is themed. And we're huge, huge Disney fans.
Yeah.
So, but we don't discriminate. We like the Peanuts lots. So we have a full on 7-foot Peanuts tree that has Snoopy and all that kind of fun. We're more Snoopy, but we're also Peanuts. Mm-hmm. We just have everything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Even the kitchen's themed to peppermint and gingerbread.
We've actually even had sponsors this year for some of the trees in our forest. And Todd, and Ken with On the Porch graciously sponsored our Peanuts tree. So
Yeah. I kind of called an audible on that one because Ken couldn't decide which one he wanted to do. And me and Holly are both big Peanuts fans. And it's like, we got to do the Peanuts one. You know,
yeah, everybody was a little overwhelmed, and I think he probably won in the nostalgia tree, but that was already taken, so
yeah.
But it's been really fun for everybody to be very
in the comment. Dan says, Now we know what Pepper Tree Villa means. There's actually a story behind the name,
yeah,
absolutely.
Okay, let's give you a quick story. Picture it, East Contra Costa County. 2008.
Picture it, Sicily, 1930.
Northern California.
We bought this house 16 years ago.
Today, we actually got keys for this place and walked in here 16 years ago today.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so we got the keys and we didn't know what we were going to do with it. And
was a dump.
We had an older brother named Ron who said, you know what? You guys, you need something in the yard. What can I get you?
But go back. And we go to Disneyland a lot.
I asked for a pepper tree because if you go to Disneyland, leaving the parking structure called Mickey and Friends and the Pixar Pals or whatever
it's called. And they're all over the property.
The tram route is lined with these California pepper trees that are just very lacy, beautiful.
Evergreen kind of.
Very tall.
Like a willow tree.
So I told my brother Ron, that's what I want. So he got one. And within a few months, he helped us plant it. Doug thought it had died.
It died. It really did die. Now the trunk is about this big. And it's humongous. We actually had to finally pay an arborist to really do some trimming. Because we would trim it ourselves. But last year it was not going to happen. So we paid a tree person to come out. It was great.
Anyway, we had the tree planted the next year, and it's a pepper tree. Mm-hmm. The tree's name is Keith, by the way.
Keith the pepper tree.
It's my brother's middle name. So Keith the pepper tree is now about 40 to 50 feet tall.
Oh, wow.
And creates a lot of shade on summer days. So it's very nice. Oh, yeah. But we came to the name because
we needed something because we didn't want to be a Disney channel. We didn't want to be a food channel. We didn't want to be really a Christmas channel. Mm-hmm. So when we got into the YouTube 2018, 2019, we're like, let's get something that is a little fun and different. And then just out of the blue, being a marketing person, I said, let's just call ours because our house is called Villa D. Mm-hmm. And so why don't we just call our house, it's generic enough, Pepper Tree Villa, because tree, and we do like, so there's a lot of symbolism in there, and I'm getting really in a whole like marketing thing, but we just called ourselves Pepper Tree Villa.
And the main reason why it ended up being that way also, the name, we had to have a limit of 15 characters in the name because of the standards that Twitter had at the time.
Right.
So Pepper Tree Villas, 15 letters.
And it wasn't taken. It was generic enough. We can have fun with it. And so it's got a life of its own, and we've been having fun.
We really lean into the whole tree now, especially with Christmas.
We're Christmas.
We're definitely a big Christmas channel.
Yeah, it worked out well, too, because the way your show is set up, you know, you talk movies and you have segments, kind of like a TV talk show. So, you know, having the TV abbreviation, you know, PTV, and you do the, you know, Ben has his, you know, own little spot, and he does the Mary Tyler Moore, you know, intro and things, and then you know it just fits in. It's like you guys are putting on like almost a whole TV kind of station on one show, and that really worked out too.
We wanted the TV. Some of it's a happy accident, to be honest with you, but some of it was very purposeful.
But I wanted
more purposeful.
That's why I want to make sure our lead in is always, you're watching PTV.
Yeah, that's fantastic. Yeah, going back to the trees, we don't have near 43, and we're at about 13 in our house. And
hey, that's a lot.
It is. And people always ask me, they're like, how do you put up that many trees? And the theme tree is the way to go. It's like, that's the easiest way to put up multiple trees. If you're just going to try to randomly decorate that many trees, you're just going to pull your hair out. And kind of like you guys have. It's just impossible. My mom, I think, is doing 26 this year. And you know, she does themes.
Awesome.
Yeah. She does themes, except for the main trees are always just kind of, you know, scrapbook trees is what I always call them.
We're very deliberate with our themes. We're very deliberate with how we decorate them and how we light them. We even go as far as making sure that the trees are the right height for the location. Sometimes a tree doesn't look right unless you raise it up with a tote or a box or something.
Yep.
That really helps with perspective of getting a tree seen. Right now in our living room, we have 14 trees in one area, and we have what we call our shiny bright tree, which is all the fancy glass baubles and C7 lights. But that tree wouldn't be seen unless we raise it up on a tall box, and then it actually stands and towers.
It's a 4-foot tree.
Yeah.
So just give also all your viewers a context. No, we do not live in a very big house. Our house is actually just slightly under 1,800 square feet. It's only one story home with 9-foot ceiling. So you're like, oh, they must live in an 8,000 square foot house to put 47 trees. We were just lucky to how our furniture and how we live to place everything. It looks like a giant department store.
Yeah.
I know my mom's main tree for a long time was this 9-foot tree. And when they remodeled their house, she has a 25-foot vaulted ceiling in the living room. And you know, the 9-foot tree kind of looked a little small in there. So Dad built a platform for it to bump it up 2 feet. Well, this year she's got a 12-foot tree, and she went ahead and put it on that 2-foot platform, you know, and she's like having to get the tall, skinny kid from the church to come stand on scaffolding to decorate the top for her, you know, because... she's all 5'4" and doesn't need to be up that high anyway, you know, and stuff. So it's a, and then she's like, your dad wanted the angel on that tree, but if you just go buy an angel topper, it's just going to look silly up there because it's so small. And so she had to come up with some other topper idea. I think not exactly what she's done. I think some presents or something. She wrapped some boxes and put up there as a topper with some picks and stuff around it. And
yeah, you need to be very creative with a tree that size.
Yeah. So, and of course, she had to put more, it was pre-lit, and so she had to put more lights on it. She's like, they never come with enough lights.
Absolutely.
That's our thing. We're also very old-fashioned-y, so we're all about incandescent lights. Mm-hmm. So there's only like 3 things in the whole house, but it's battery-operated, and they're small, more decorative, but nothing's LED. Because I just, it's not my thing. Now, they made, you actually had them on your channel. and you interviewed the guy who created the C7 LED Christmas bulb that look pretty much dead on.
Yeah.
They're supposed to, they look like the glass C7.
Yeah.
I'm going to, you know, I can't replace it all because the tree that we usually have all the C7s and bubble lights, I like them twinkling. But I do want to see, but that's brilliant that they can make LED, but I just want to make sure they all still use the incandescent lights. Yeah. There's something about fact, it. There's fact, just something.
Yeah. The tree behind me, those are LED.
Yeah.
And they look pretty good. I mean, you know, for LED. But the thing I do, because one of our favorite things to do is we got to make sure if we get LEDs that they're dimmable. We love dimming the tree at night, you know, especially the ones in the bedroom, you know, like Taylor, our youngest, she's got a tree in her room and she'll turn it on. And then we have a slider that it plugs into and you can slide it and dim it. And, you know, if, at first it's like, it's hard to see, but if you wake up in the middle of the night, you know, your eyes are used to the dark, then it's just kind of like glowing. And it's just feels great to have the tree on like that in the middle of the night, you know, kind of dimmed down. And so we, you guys use like Google Home or Apple or Alexis, you know, to turn everything on or off, or
we do use Apple. In fact, yeah. You can come in and say, you know, turn on Christmas, and the whole house just starts to glow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We've done the same thing too. Cause, you know, with all the trees and you get the little foot switches for them all, it's like you got to do the river dance to get everything on, you know, through the whole house. So.
Yeah. And there's times that you just want to walk by and you just want to see a tree. So just yell it to turn on and you don't have to think about it and how we plug everything. There's no way we could get switches. Now the crystal tree, it's on a switch. You just walk by the wall and you just turn it and the thing turns on.
Yeah.
And that rotates. So it's all glass and crystal. So yeah, we do have a video that shows it, because you're like, we're talking about all these trees. This is going to be even more. This year is going to be a little bit more involved. But you can get an idea of what we even did with last year.
So Ben actually asked me a question in the chat. He says, Arnie, what's up with the hashtag TPV behind you? That's actually a pretty simple story. One of our villagers, it was that way on Monday TPV, night. One of our villagers on Monday night, we did our show live and it was set that way. And he noticed that it was TPV, but he was the only one that noticed it during the show. So he asked me afterwards, he says, what happened with that? Why was that?
I was putting cookbooks away.
Yeah, Doug was just putting cookbooks away.
And I moved it.
The whole library behind us is nothing but cookbooks. So.
Oh, nice.
And that's just part of the collection.
Yeah. And that unofficial Disney cookbook perked my ears up.
Yeah.
I'm like,
you will like it.
Ooh, what is that? I don't know anything about that. There it is.
Yeah. Hey, I'll be pre-recording with the author tomorrow now. And it's actually a very nice cookbook.
Look at the layout. Nice.
Yeah, layout looks. Yeah,
it is nice. It's got like the pictures in it are beautiful.
You know? Oh, great.
Yeah. Well, it makes me feel I'm going to be going on the Amazon this evening and maybe peruse at my leisure.
There's like 100 recipes in there. Oh. Check Walmart first. I saw it at our local Walmart for like $12.84.
Oh, good.
I'll check, because that sometimes happens that Walmart will even make it 50 cents or a dollar less than what you get on Amazon.
Yeah. Yeah, because last time I looked on Amazon, it was like $22, which is, to me, still a great value for the book because it's really well put together.
Yeah.
But if you can get it if you can get it for $12, you know, $13.
It's interesting. You mentioned a cookbook. Doug, a few years ago, did a little research and found the Wisconsin Energy Company.
Now it's called We Energy.
Every year. Every year they would publish, I guess, family recipes of cookies. And this started back in the 1930s.
1928 was first cookbook. It was a little pamphlet. It was even done in an old-timey typewriter.
So They've been doing it for decades.
They digitized them all, and now, and they still produce it. Now, they stopped, I think, in a little bit of the late 80s into the 90s, and it wasn't until, I think, the late 90s into the aughts.
And I just printed
just this year.
The 2024 version of it.
Oh, nice.
And it's got its three-hole punch. We're going to be putting it in our binders. We have every year printed out so we can reference any cookie that we want from those cookbooks. Mm-hmm. We're big. Not only are we big on Christmas trees, but we're just big on Christmas itself.
Yeah.
We don't keep electronic things. It was a COVID project. So I took all the PDFs and we sat for hours and printed off every single. People would want them on digital. Not me. I printed every single year out. Yeah. Some had different pages. And I'm like, so now we have a binder. It's taken up tons of room, but it made us happy.
Yeah. I don't blame you there. I'm still working on the Cookie Day Christmas Cookie Cookbook or whatever it's going to be called. So we're going to be trying to get some photographs this Cookie Day, and then hopefully I can get it all put together for next year at Christmas. So
that would be great.
Yeah, I want that. I want the illustrious orange cookie that you guys were talking about for quite a few times. So that's the one I'm looking forward to.
Yeah, you're like, be in there for sure. Definitely will.
We're going to be trying something different this year with the forest as well. We have a lot of people coming over for an open house. And the thing is that there are only two of us. Yeah. So when you have multiple people coming in at various times, they all want to know what's what, how long, what did you do? So I am going to be painstakingly making shorts for our YouTube channel of every tree and every little display. And as people come in, we can hand them a brochure with a QR code. And the first thing that they'll see is they could just say, okay, the QR code on the front will be a generic video of welcome to the Christmas forest at PTV. And then it'll explain with each QR code in the brochure what they're looking at as they walk through the house.
That'd be cool.
And then people that just happen on our channel will be able to just watch the shorts as is, because they'll be published that way.
What you really need to do is put one of them little trains in there, like from the TV show Silver Spoons, and then people can go through there kind of like it's Epcot, you know, and have the speakers right here. And, you know, get someone like, you know, Walter Cronkite or, like Morgan Freeman to narrate, you know, as they go around to each tree, and then you won't have to worry about it.
Oh, that sounds great.
It would be easier for that way to just kind of force people to see and move their car.
Yeah.
I don't want to narrate the videos myself, but I may have to, but I'm going to be talking to a couple of people and hopefully they might be able to do the recordings.
Yeah.
We'll see what happens.
It's just another generic. We like to do a personal, but if we have more people over and he started and, you know, do the groups, and then it gets very, not tiring because I have to live with this, but it's like you're sitting there and explaining everything, and it could take about an hour and a half to hour and 45 minutes. We had one person over and they want to see it. They talk about it. They look at the ornament. They get excited. They get the phone out. And they're taking pictures, and I'm like, wow, we have not even gone through half of the house or even got to the Christmas tree, and it's already been, you know, 40-some-odd minutes.
Yeah.
Because there's a lot of eye candy.
Yeah.
It's fun. The detail, and again, I'm not tooting my own horn. I even hate myself when I'm doing this. Like, why do I care? Why am I spending so much time trying to get the detail and everything just so perfect? I move things. You can't see cords. You can't see anything. It looks so staged, and I hate myself for doing that.
Yeah. Ah, it's so worth it though.
It is.
Yeah.
It is. Yeah. It is. But we get that some on Cookie Day at my mom's house, because, you know, there's 30 so different kinds of cookies. So everybody wants to know what each one are, you know. And so you got to run through it, and then people are looking at the trees, and you kind of get, you know, like a Disney tour guide where you just have the same spiel over and over and over again, you know, and just to kind of speed things along and things. But it's worth it just to see the people come through and enjoy it. Cause a lot of people still are just like, oh, I'll put my tree up like on the 15th of December or, you know, it's like,
you know what? Maybe we should get Lindsay here to do that for us.
Oh, get her.
She is a, Lindsay is a friend of ours that works at Disneyland and she is a tour guide. So she wears that, that particular costume that looks like the,
a tour guide.
Yeah, tour, I mean, the tour guide.
Full-timey,
yeah.
You know.
The plaid.
And plaid the plaid and, you know, looks very vintagey. And,
there you go. You just need to make PTV versions of tour guide's outfit and then hire people to come in, you know.
I love that idea.
Yeah.
I mean, it is, it's very shocking because when they, people, you know, you, I mean, you hear, oh, you're big Disney fans or you're big, into Christmas, that's cute. You know, they don't understand the grasp and then they walk in and it is shocking. It's, it's so overwhelming that it's actually not real. It really, that's what some person said. I just, because, oh, you say, ha ha ha, you decorate a lot for Christmas.
Yeah.
I'm like, I'm over here.
Yeah.
So it kind of had a life of its own. This is not that something we've been doing it every year. I think the first
This is actually the 16th annual Forest.
Oh, wow.
We started doing multiple trees in 2009. The first year that we moved in was 2008. Like I said, we just got the keys on this day in 2008. And we had just gotten the carpet installed the second week of December. And it was at that point I turned to Doug and says, I need to put up a Christmas tree. I need a tree.
It was the only one floating in this room. You know, furniture, the carpet was like days old. The room still was freshly painted. We still had to do some other things. I think we had to get the baseboards put in.
Yeah.
I mean, and he plops the tree in and says, I need to have this. And I'm like, okay, this is cool. Then we went 2009. I think we had a half a dozen. I think we were like, oh, let's do something like here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then this year, when we were packing this past, you know, 2023's away in January, I wanted to do something different in the living room. Then it spawned and then it got out of control.
Yeah. So for instance, the Disney tree in the living room
went
from one tree to seven trees.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then we've got ornaments.
We have the one in the center. It rotates and then three on each side that kind of envelop the tree. So it's rather, rather surprising to see because all the lights twinkle.
Oh yeah.
It's, yeah, that really.
If you're sensitive to seizures, you might get a seizure inducing because it could be a little overwhelming. There's a lot of twinkle lights. Yeah. So, yeah. And then we did a project on my own for both of us, and we've shared that where we made ornaments where Sherry got her sublimation. And I'm like, oh, as a designer, I can make these fancy ornaments. And that was a project that I don't know why we did what we did.
Yeah.
But the payoff is exquisite.
Yeah. We have a Disney animation tree and a Pixar animation tree. And we took ornaments themed to every movie and coupled it with handmade ornaments that we did this year that are about so big. They are the movie posters of every film that Disney and Pixar have put out
for. Oh, wow.
I don't think we have one. I mean, I can go fetch it if everybody wants to go see.
And then Doug said, well, we need more. So he did.
No, that was Ben. It was Ben.
And
it
my brother. For those of you that are watching, Ben is probably in the chat. He wanted Disneyland attraction posters with the same format. So it's the poster on one side and on the back side is the dates that the attraction opened, and it looks like the old A, B, C, D, and E tickets from Disneyland.
Oh, wow. That's awesome.
And it's not the actual theatrical release of the movie. And on the back, I have Mickey, and then we have the day it was first came out in the theater. Wow. So all the way from Snow White of November of November 27th of 1934?
37.
To just November 27th of this year, Moana 2 is coming out. So we have, so we had to go back to every single movie to find out the first theatrical release.
Yeah, Ben's right. We need to do a Christmas tree docent. I like that idea.
Yeah. A docent. Yeah, we need to do something. We need happy. So with everything that's going on, just, you know, since COVID and even to present day, Christmas is, you know, you got to find what makes you happy. Yeah. And it doesn't matter what everybody else thinks because it's not their life. And
you, your phrase of keeping Christmas alive yeah. every day. That's just magical.
Yeah. Well, I've said this, you know, probably ad nauseum to a lot of people, but it's like Christmas is that thing people fall back on, you know, when they need something. Because like when COVID broke out, you know, Hallmark went to Christmas movies, radios went back to Christmas, you know, song format for a while. And it's just something about the cozy comfort of Christmas that, you know, really attracts people. And
yeah,
you know, it's just kind of that thing. And you know, I started Christmas Clatter because I just love Christmas so much and wanted, you know, like, you know, there were a few other Christmas podcasts at the time. And it's like, I just need an outlet to get in, you know, even deeper into it and connect with people that are like me. That's just like, you know, the best day to start planning for Christmas is December the 26th, you know?
Yeah. And, we are always about the only time that we're not discussing Christmas is
the month of March.
About the month of March. But then we start talking about it a little because we know that the Dream Book is going to be released from home.
Yeah.
In April.
And then it's off to the races from there.
Yeah. Yeah.
We do Christmas in July. We even celebrate that. And we even keep up one tree every year, which is now the Shiny Bright tree. It's a 4-foot balsam hill. It's a very stickly. Mm-hmm. And that gets themed for all the holidays.
It gets themed, but it's also very helpful for when we hit summer. It's helpful to have that tree available to store our ornaments that we purchase throughout the year.
Uh-huh.
And then as we start setting up the trees, we start taking ornaments off that tree and putting them on the right themed tree in the forest.
That's a wonderful idea. That's one thing I struggle at is I'll buy the ornaments through the year and keep them in the bag. And then it's like, where'd that bag go? You know?
Oh, add a couple things like that. It's like if we go to estate sales, we're big on estate sales, and you know, not so much garage sales because garage sales are not going to sell their own personal stuff. We'll just go ahead, and if Easter is over, we'll throw some generic white lights. And there's times we'll just turn it on for just half hour, 45 minutes, just. Or just for a little while, just to kind of look at it, just to calm your blood pressure and just look at it. Sure, it's just, you know, mishmash, but there's something about that little 4-foot tree that sits in not really a corner, but of the living room when we both come look at it.
Yeah.
And it stays up. And then, like I said, it goes for Valentine, then it's either St. Patrick, and then it's always Easter. And then
we'll give it a spring theme.
Yeah, the spring thing, and then we go right into
fall. Stripping everything off.
Yeah.
And using it as a display for our ornaments as we purchase them through the year.
Yeah.
So it's not a big tree.
In fact, this probably a week or couple weeks ago, I guess, but now we had went to Hobby Lobby and bought some things for our peanuts tree. And we were scrambling around the house trying to find that bag. It's like, where's the Hobby Lobby bag at? And Holly went downstairs to look, and I was looking upstairs. I'm like, did we leave it in your car? I'm like, I don't know. We'll go ahead and look at the car. And then I just was like, she carried a bunch of tubs back downstairs. So I came back downstairs and started going through tubs and found it. I guess she just kind of was in the process of just throwing some empty decoration boxes and stuff in the tubs and to get them back in place and just grab that bag and put it in there, you know, without thinking too much about it. And it's like,
yeah, we've had a few kind of like that. We don't misplace too much, but it's like everything has a place. And it's like, if it's not here in the closet, where did it go? Mm-hmm. Why?
Yeah.
Did it happen to get mismatched or something?
And the thing is, with as many trees as we have, You have to be quite organized about it too. Otherwise, it becomes completely overwhelming.
Chaos.
So this year in June, we sat down and we produced a production schedule.
Mm-hmm.
And we said, okay, these are the trees that are going to be in this room. We have to have the ornaments unboxed on this date. We have to have the trees lit in this time frame. And they have to be in place at this time. And then we can have the tree fully decorated by Sunday night on this weekend.
Yeah.
So that's all on the schedule. And to know exactly where we're going with everything, we have, well, let me bring it up here. We have...
Oh, we're so hyper-organized.
You kind of have to be.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are very, like, we are going to work on this tree.
So this is my list of totes for the garage. And that tells me exactly what ornaments are where. It's not quite barcoded yet, but I'm close. It
probably, I've been wanting to possibly go that far or put a QR code so I could put the phone up to it and say, okay. And we could go to right to a picture. That might, I don't know, it might happen because it's out of control.
We last year we got a tote scan, which is QR codes in an app. It was like around $12, maybe a little more, a little less. And you got like, I want to say like 48 QR codes. That's the only time you pay for it, is when you get new QR codes. And then it has an app. And you take a picture of everything. Sometimes you can scan the barcode on the box and it'll bring up the picture, or you can take your own picture and you assign each, you know, thing that you're putting in there into that tote, into, you know, whatever tub you're using. And then you can scan the QR code. It lists everything in there. Or if you're looking for something specific, you can look it up on the app. And it, there's also a number. It's like a serial number at the bottom of the QR code. And it'll tell you which one you need to find it in. And I don't know how well you can see that, but I don't get it. But, you could see that, that tote is U7BMH, and it's got 20 items in there, and then they're all listed.
Okay, you know? Yeah, that's
good. That's good. Yeah, you'll have to, after all of this, just email us and just show, because I'm actually, it sounds kind of like what it did, because we were looking for some snowman something, and it's like, we now move it into another tote, but it's not the snowman tote.
Right.
But where did it go? Because so, as we're going to do it, it changes.
We're getting a couple of questions here in the chat.
Yes.
The Orlando guy is asking, does Arnie and Doug like Diet Coke? And the answer is, for me, that's nectar of the gods. So I love that stuff.
No, I like Diet Dr. Pepper. The Diet Coke has, it's something about their... sweetening to it, absolutely nasty.
How about Coke
there's
Zero?
There's a whole story on Diet Coke pants, but that's a whole other story.
How about the Coke Zero?
No, I do not like Diet Coke for multiple reasons. It's nasty.
And then, I guess, how many lights do we decorate with? We have over 10,000 lights on display this year. And to answer the question of how many is too many, I don't know that there's an answer for that.
We talked to an electrician that we wanted, because since we don't do LED, because LED, you could just go high in the hog and it doesn't matter because it basically takes wattage or energy. We're all incandescent, but even some of these incandescents don't take that much.
Yeah.
So we asked our electrician, actually, yes, we do have an electrician. I said, really, when you plug this mini thing in this outlet, what should be concerned of? And since we have a very modern home built in the 2000s, he says it can handle a lot. It's just, yes, you can overdo it.
Mm-hmm.
So don't put all of this on that one circuit. So,
but
we have checked it out. But yes, it's a lot.
I will say this. We have central heat and air in the house. But when it comes time for us to do an open house, we have to keep the air system off because all the lights heat the home.
Yeah.
And then we have to throw windows open as well as keeping the ceiling fans on to regulate the temperature of the house because, you know, 10,000 lights throw off a lot of heat.
Yeah, they do.
So, and that's between the miniature lights that we have, like on this tree behind me, mm-hmm. to the C7s that are on our 9-foot tree, which this year is actually called the Orlando Guy Nostalgia Tree.
Thank you for all this, for the sponsors. So yeah, it gets screaming hot, but it's worth it. And you would think, okay, your electricity bill should be really high. Honestly, it's lower in winter than it is in our summer. The summer, we just only have our air conditioner and that's on all the time because, you know, hot. But not all of everything is on at all the same time. And then if it's on, we might keep it on a few things. We might only keep it on for an hour or two if we selectively do it. So we do not have any problem with our power bill.
Yeah. So there's another question here from Dan.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, Dan. How did Arnie and Doug's deep love for Christmas originate? I can't speak for Doug, but I do know that mine started very young. My father would always say, okay, we're going to go out. We're going to get a tree at the tree lot. But it always had to be at the earliest December 10th so that you got that 2-week window before Christmas where the tree wasn't drying out. Mm-hmm. Sometimes the tree was a Douglas fir. Sometimes it was the beautiful silver tips with all the very nice gaps and things. Uh-huh. We love that. But as far as multiple trees, that didn't happen until after my dad passed in 1989. And that left room in the house. My sister moved in. And so we blended families together. That also meant we blended Christmas ornaments. I thought, okay, we have a lot of ornaments here. So what are we going to do? Well, we put up two trees. Mm-hmm. And it just started from there.
Yeah.
My brother and I shared an apartment in the mid-90s. And our first Christmas, we had our ornaments. We just got one tree. And we realized after we got the one tree, we had too many ornaments between the two of us. Because Ben took one half of the tree and I took the other half and we just circled the tree with ornaments and we thought, we just don't have enough room. So the next year we got a tree each.
Yeah.
And back from me, my parents always made a big deal. Christmas was actually a very big deal. And my mom would always, the day after Thanksgiving, so Black Friday, wasn't a thing in the 80s. But ever since I was really young, she would always put the bubble lights on the mantle. Because she grew up as a little girl. Her grandmother had them. So she had, the bubble lights were on the tree. So my mom always made a big deal. Talked about it and made a big deal. And it ensconced me with it. And then we always had a real tree sometimes since I was born and raised in Reno, Nevada. So we'd go into the mountains and actually go cut a tree in the middle of nowhere. And, you know, it still had snow on it, freezing cold. So we did that for a couple of years. Then we did tree lots. Always had a real tree and then had one. And then it wasn't until I moved to California in the 90s that we would have one and one, the big tree in the living room. And then we'd have another tree just kind of off the side and we would decorate it. And I always had a tree in my room ever since I was young, a little table always. So it just kind of happened. And then blending both of ours and now it's just completely I call it, it's its own organism. Yeah. It just kind of, it controls us. We have no control of it. We just do it. We let it be. And it just kind of happens. And that's what's fun about it.
Yeah.
We were putting the force together this year, suddenly we thought, you know what? This area, it needs another little tree. So we ended up with like three more trees than we thought we were going to put up originally. So
yeah, that was, I'm like, what kind of, we
it just happens.
Well, I didn't know what I was going to do with this Hallmark tote shopping basket. I'm like, well, let's do this. Cause I saw a tree off to the side and I was going to put it in the garage. And it's like, let's make one more.
Yeah.
So I got an electric cord and plugged it in.
Yeah. Let me ask you guys this. Is there a theme that you don't have that you would like to start?
Oh, that's a good question.
I want to say kind of yes. I would have to like think about it, but the theme of everything. Yeah. I finally got my first Nightmare Before Christmas tree. So I have all my Nightmare Before Christmas stuff. It's all themed and looks really cool. So that one, we finally put that one, finally got that tree. But if I wanted to go probably very avant-garde, if we had a lot, and it worked just right. You do have the Nutcracker thing. Mm-hmm. I saw you guys put together, which was... Yeah. I thought it was actually kind of cool. We're more into the toy soldier feel of it.
Yeah.
People think they're the same thing.
They're not. Yeah, I get that. Everybody's
No.
Yeah, everybody's like, hey, look at this Nutcracker. I'm like, that's a toy soldier.
For some reason, we kind of like that toy soldier kind of, but not the Nutcracker sweep or the of it. But that would be kind of cool. But there's not a lot of it.
At least not in our collection yet.
Enough to make it really substantial to make it look cool. I'm not going to do it to do cheesy.
Yeah.
So I don't want cluttered, cheesy, and tacky.
And one thing that we won't do in our forest is go with the latest trends. Last year, everyone was doing black and white trees. This year... Pastels are big.
So,
pink.
Yeah. Oh, last year was about nude. The tans and nude, the skin tones.
Yeah.
That was last year in black and white. And then this year's all pink and pastels. No.
Yeah. I believe in being more traditional with the ornaments that I grew up with and putting on those memories every year.
Oh, I have another tree I want to do. Is all the Rankin and Bass.
Yeah.
Every one of them. So collect a lot of the Rankin and Bass. It'll probably go on a more of a smaller tree, but that would be cool because I have a lot of emotional attachment to Rankin and Bass. Yeah. And if you guys are thinking of what Rankin and Bass is, it's Frosty, Rudolph, 'Twas the Night Before Christmas.
Miser, Snow Miser.
Santa Claus Coming to Town.
Everything.
The Drummer Boy. Just type in Rankin Bass.
You'll know what I'm...
Yeah.
Yep. So we have, we could probably do it.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a huge one, but we could do a Rankin and Bass tree.
Yeah.
And we could put the Rankin and Bass logo on the tree topper. Well, that might happen.
Do you have anything like a Saturday morning cartoon tree?
Most of those ornaments that we have, like Bugs Bunny and the Abominable Snowman, Daffy Duck. Yeah, they're on. Wacko Yakko and Dot are on that tree too.
From Animaniacs.
Yeah, that's the nostalgia tree.
Yeah,
that's we do that kind of as our go-to.
The nostalgia tree is also the tree that has the oldest ornaments in the forest.
Ah.
One of them is almost 100 years old.
Oh, wow. That's fantastic.
A lot. We have some and from World War II.
I have a set of three ornaments that my grandmother gave me that are from World War II when glass was rationed, so you couldn't get glass ornaments. They made plastic ornaments.
And I have all mine from a childhood that go about 40 years old.
Yeah. My my dad has it's a Santa ornament. It's not really an ornament. It's actually used to be an old string of Santa lights that his mom, my grandma, used to hang up across one of their entryways into the kitchen for Christmas. And I guess the lights went out and for whatever reason, he like cut one off and then like twisted the wires together and then used it as an ornament, you know, all these years. And that thing, you know, he's 74 now. So that, you know, he don't ever remember them getting it. So that thing has to be maybe 80 years old. And then I got some plastic stuff from my mom, but I actually got some old shiny brights, last week. a friend of mine that lives on my mail route was moving. And I was delivering his mail and I saw he had a, you know, truck full of stuff. And I was like, Danny, you couldn't find anything more fun to do today than move? And he's like, I was just, you know, we're moving. And I saw it was Christmas stuff, and he's like, that's all my Christmas stuff I'm keeping. I'm like, well, if you need a good home for it, I know, you know, a place for it. And he goes, well, this is all the stuff we're keeping in the truck. And he points at this big pile. It ended up being 24 tubs worth. He goes, that's all the Christmas stuff I'm getting rid of. He's like, if you want to go through it, have at it. You can have any of it. And I'm like, yeah. So I parked my mail truck and got out and like pilfered through it real fast and set some aside. And finally I told him, I said, Danny, I said, I'll just take all this from you. That way you don't even have full with getting rid of any of it. He goes, keep the storage tubs too. There were three old boxes of, when he was there, there were three old boxes with the, you know, the box color and the green shiny brights with the ornaments in them. And I'm like, are you sure you don't want anything for these? He goes, no, those are just old ornaments. I'm like, okay, that's fine. You know, and there was all kinds of Hallmark ornaments and Peanuts ornaments in there. In fact, there was a cookie jar of Snoopy on his doghouse for, you know, decorated for Christmas was in there. It was going to get thrown away. I don't know if you remember from McDonald's, they had the Muppet Babies plushies back in the mid 80s.
Oh, yes.
He had the Fozzie, Kermit, and Miss Piggy in there. And Piggy and Fozzie still had the tag on their arm. You know,
oh my God. You hit the lottery. You hit the Christmas tree,
it was dude. It was all kinds of great stuff in there. I was like, and Holly's like, what are we going to do with all this stuff? And I'm like, we're going to dig through and keep what we want. And there was like a Ray Dunn log cabin in there that said Lodge Life or something like that in there and things. And I said, we're going to keep what we want. And then Holly's church came by. It's a new startup church. And they went through it and got a bunch of Christmas decorations for the church. And then the rest were just going to donate to my mom's church for the yard sales that they do, you know, to help raise money and stuff. And
that's great.
And it was like, holy cow, I couldn't believe it. You know, I mean, I barely got it all in my truck. I had like three layers of tubs in the back of the bed of my truck, all ratchet strapped down. The back seat was completely full. The passenger seat was completely full. Couldn't see out that side of the truck. But it was so cool. I'm going to be getting pictures and putting up here soon of everything. But, yeah,
That's awesome.
My, I think my goal is to find maybe 4 foot or bigger is to find a very complete and very good condition aluminum Christmas tree each end has the pom poms.
Mm-hmm.
They are like unicorns.
Mm-hmm.
They'll pop up. Don't go like antique stores or anything like that. I've seen them go between $400 and $600.
Oh yeah, yeah.
You have to be very lucky to find it, and I only want to find it. And even though it'll still be kind of pricey, even at estate sales.
Yeah.
But I, you know, there was this one, but it was not really complete, and it was some of it was trashed. I have standards. I'm not just going to get one to get one.
Right.
But I want everything that goes along, even as far as if they even have the wheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So
the color wheel
that we will make, I know they're extremely ugly and a lot of people hated them.
Yeah.
And they were, but they were what I like about it as being a geeky history person. They were a capture of a history of time, mm-hmm, in American history, yeah, that they came and they were here and then they're gone and they resemble a time in American history.
Yeah.
So that's kind of one of my things I would like to seek out. Again, I'm not going to spend $400 to $600 on, right, that thing.
I'm the same way. I want one, but I want to find it as a deal. You know,
yeah.
I don't want to just go up. In fact, there was a guy that I met through doing this podcast, David Sturvant. And we message each other all the time every time we see one that's up for sale, you know, and we're like, that's a good one, but still too much money, you know?
Yeah. So,
yeah.
I don't need it that bad. It's got to happen. And a lot of stuff that we've done is organic.
It'll happen organically.
Yeah. We want,
when the time is right,
very little that we forced upon because we wanted it, because it was just no matter what.
Oh.
That is something that I just wanted. If it happens, it happens.
There are some ideas here in the chat. Richard says that we should create the hallway of misfit toys.
Yeah.
I like that idea.
And okay.
Ken.
I don't want to hear the chat. These two are up to no good.
That's great. Y'all should do an all glitter ornament tree.
There you go.
No.
Yeah.
That would induce panic attacks for me. I couldn't cope. I would walk by and I feel like it would get into my lungs.
Yeah.
No.
How about the little stringy icicles?
We have those.
I love the icicles.
We have the icicles on the shiny bite tree.
I need
a box of it.
I need to get some for our mid-century tree upstairs in the dining room. I think that's the last little touch it needs. But you guys need to have Theron Georges on PTV. He wrote a book all about aluminum Christmas trees.
Really?
Yeah. I had him on early on at Christmas Clatter, and super good guy. He's like, and he's all into it and stuff. And yeah, the book is... It's hard to find now for some reason, but it's a wonderful book. It's called Evergleam is the name of it.
Yeah, Evergleam.
Yeah, the Evergreen book. Yeah, and it is it's well worth it. It's a great book to put out like around the holidays because it's a good coffee table book with a lot of history and a lot of great pictures in it. You know, it's actually it's actually available again. So
Oh, okay. I'll peruse again. We'll have Amazon at my leisure. Whatever.
Yeah, yeah. It's a little pricey, like $45, but it's worth it. I tell you, it's worth it. It's such a nice book. It's a high quality book, and Theron's a good guy. Theron George is his name. Okay. But yeah, you'd enjoy talking aluminum Christmas trees with him. He's got it down. He's got it down. So.
Yeah, we want to just have it, like I said, it'd be super organic, and that would be fun. That would be my the Christmas coup de grace, or the holy of holies, you know the holy grail of finding that. That would be fun because it would represent a lot of what we do.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, we could go on and we could even spawn things off of other things. Mm-hmm. And I also feel another thing that we can get into and embrace is garlands, because some people don't realize garlands can be almost a Christmas tree.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
Decorated and
we have
put up as...
And we have embraced that. We started putting garlands everywhere now.
Yeah, so we feel we could probably do more with garlands than maybe adding... trees. There's garlands can be fun.
In fact, last Christmas for the first time, the soffit that's above our upper cabinets in the kitchen, I hung just white, you know, lit garland up there, you know, kind of swagged it. Ended up staying all year because it looked so nice, you know, not decorated or nothing, you know. And so
we started a harvest garland last year. And it goes between the kitchen and the dining room. And it's held up with a shower curtain rod that is a tension rod. And we just wrap it in garland. And then
this thing is gorgeous.
Lights.
And it's just so full. So when you walk in the foyer going into the main room, it's half arched. And it goes around, and it's bulging, and it's all harvesty right now. And then I'll take all the stuff out, and we'll keep some of the fruit. And it's all going to have winter berries and some of these ice crystally kind of things that are going to be on sticks.
That'll come after Thanksgiving.
I'm keeping at least something fall for Thanksgiving night. That's the only resemblance of fall in our house. But it has that harvesty feel. Mm-hmm. That happened last year. Yeah. I've always wanted a harvesty snowberry look. And then this year, it just turned out even way better than I can imagine.
I posted a reel on Instagram with that. So it turned out really nice.
Yeah.
And twinkle. I just sit there and look at it. Man, talk about your blood pressure going up from, you know, going to the hospital. And you're just like,
Let me ask you this question. All these like candy themed trees and decorations. What do you think of those?
We do the gingerbread and candy things, but I think it's now overdone. I'm seeing the gingerbread explode. Yeah. Everything is covered in glitter, and they're going a little more on the pastel side. Yeah. And some of the stuff doesn't look cool. It just looks cheap.
But we do have two trees that flank the china hutch in our dining room that are peppermint gingerbread.
Yeah.
And then that spills into the kitchen as well. So
it's not candy like a candy store. It's very specific to, you know, the candy cane peppermint, red and white.
Yeah.
With like little candy, you know, some of the ornaments can be candy-ish theme. But when you look at it, the lights are red and white.
Yeah.
So that's our take on it. I've seen that frosted
glitter.
I call it the glittery soda fountain.
Yeah.
And you know what? I just don't like it.
Well, good. I don't either. I don't like the pastel candies with the gingerbread and the glittery icing. I'm like, it just don't look right. But we did this year. We put peppermint covers on our cabinet pools. You know, so they look like little starlight peppermints. Those are great. Nice. You know, because they look like Christmas, but they like the pastels, like the, you know, the nutcracker with the cotton candy piled on a hat. It's like, I just feels like I'm getting diabetes just looking at it.
I mean, we saw one with Dunop, and I can appreciate for how the theme is, but it wasn't Christmas. Yeah. There was nothing Christmassy about it.
Yeah.
And it looked like it would be in a high end soda fountain shop or candy store. And it just looked really off. It looked way too designerly. And it was just, it was not for me.
Yeah.
And I know, I appreciate the Grinch who stole Christmas. I mean, who hasn't? That's a, you know, another one of those. That's not Rankin and Bass, is it?
No.
No, that's
it's actually MGM.
Yeah. So, you know, everybody appreciates the Grinch, you know, the Grinch. But now, especially a Hobby Lobby, I mean, they got the tree and all the decorations and everything. And even though I appreciate it, I'm not that big of a fan to go that far. And I've seen it done up, and it's like, I mean, you got to be a super fan, and that even is just not working for me.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel the same way about the Grinch, too. And going back to Nutcrackers, I told my family before, it's like, if you guys buy me a Nutcracker, don't buy me an occupational Nutcracker. I want a traditional Nutcracker. Yeah. You know, I don't need the firefighter Nutcracker. And, you know, I don't need, you know, the Wizard of Oz characters, Nutcrackers. I just want traditional, you know, Nutcrackers. And, you know, I do have a few exceptions. I do have a, you know, Charlie Brown and a Snoopy one, you know, but, you know, for the most part, it's like, just give me the traditional, you know, with the drum or the sword or the staff or, you know, something.
Right.
But because some of this stuff, it just doesn't feel like you said, it just doesn't feel like Christmas to me. And, and I've gotten to the point, we went to Pigeon Forge, Tennessee with me and Holly did with my mom and dad, and they have several Christmas stores down there. I've gotten to the point I can walk through a Christmas store way faster than anybody thinks that a Christmas nut would, because it's like, I've seen all this stuff before.
Yeah. You know?
And this is all the same high processed, new pop culture and fad stuff I've seen before. There's no character behind it.
Yeah. We've talked about going up and doing a quick weekend trip to Bronner's.
Yeah.
So
I did was thinking maybe it could be happening sometime where I was like in, you know, because we live in the San Francisco Bay Area, I'm like to Detroit.
Yeah.
And like, okay, a round trip is about five something. We probably could maybe do that.
Yeah.
It was just, I don't know how we could schlep. I mean, we would have massive control, but, you know, flying back, I'm like, will we ship everything? I don't know. But yeah, I do want to, make that kind of pilgrimage, because that would be really fun. And I'm a huge Christmas Story fan.
Mm-hmm.
And there's at the house there outside of Cleveland, or I think it's in Cleveland.
Yeah.
Maybe I would think of, flying in and driving, you know, around. Uh-huh. There's Ohio and there's Michigan. Make a whole bunch of things that I want in and around that area and make it a couple of weeks.
Yeah.
And just get a car and drive around. That's a whole, you know, thing. Because being in California and going out there is, you know, a little hard there.
I understand. I do like
this. This is a question. Like, let's talk icicles. Yay or nay? I think it would depend on the type of icicles. If you're talking about the tinsel icicles, very specific uses on a tree. And that would have to be like the old silver tip type.
Yeah. And that's why it's on the type of tree that it's on.
Yeah.
And then we have individual glass icicles.
We have glass icicles on our crystal trees. And we put, they originally came on these long fish line wires that you hang them on.
Uh-huh.
So they look suspended and like hanging in the air. We took off those wires and we put on these tiny green hooks so that when you put it on the tree, it actually looks like the tip of each branch is dripping with an icicle. So the icicle is just
attached to the branch.
Yeah.
Here's something that could be really big that people could talk about. You know, friend or foe, yay or nay. Ribbons on everything or old-fashioned hooks?
Ooh. I like either one depending on the ornament and how it's put together.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm a hook person, but, you know, there is that ornament that is just meant to be to have a ribbon or a string.
Yeah.
That it just is meant to be. But three years ago, we went in and got like 5 or 10 packets of Hallmark ornaments. And by the way, we were putting in, I was cutting off strings. The ornament hooks. So now everything, there's some things that are just meant to be, I want the ribbon or I want the string.
Yeah.
But some people will not take them off. They want that string thing. I'm like, nope, that's the first thing that goes.
Yeah. Most of ours are hooks, mainly because that way you can really clamp them onto the, you know, tree. And that way they don't fall off, especially the heavier ones. But
yeah.
I don't mind a ribbon as long as it's done right and there's a reason behind it.
And with the way I decorate most of our trees, I do it's a layering process.
Yeah,
I start with the lights and I start at the top of the tree. This is a very big question. People say, where do you start lighting your tree? Do you start at the bottom or do you start at the top?
Oh, yeah, that's huge.
And there's so many experts that tell me you need to start at the bottom of your tree. And I disagree with that theory. I start at the top so that you can get all the lights that you want all the way down the tree. And that way you're not stuck at the top all of a sudden thinking, I don't have any lights up there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Or you have too many.
Yeah. So I start at the top. And then when I'm lighting, especially with the miniature lights, like on this one, I start on each branch and I fluff the branch with tips going up and down. And then I start at the back of the branch, right at the trunk, and I weave the lights in and out of the branches on the left side of the branch, come around the front, and then go weave to the inside of the trees. That way your branch gets lights on all sides.
Right.
And then you do that all the way down. So I will fluff and light a tree one branch at a time instead of fluffing the whole tree.
Yeah.
It's very therapeutic for us. Things take up and that takes as long as we do. We actually find peace in doing it. Mm-hmm. So we don't find it as a chore or a pain in the butt. So, you know, it actually brings us joy that it takes 3-4 hours just to light a tree or, you know, a section of it. So we wouldn't be doing it if everything brought us joy and happiness.
Yeah. when I was putting lights on trees, that's what I did, except I was starting at the bottom, but I'd always find myself with way too much, you know, and then it's like, I got to find a way to weave this extra in there to leave the plug in to for the topper. And, most of our lights are our trees are pre-lit now, and we've been pretty fortunate so far that our pre-lit ones have had enough lights on them. especially our main one. It's a Balsam Hill, and it's well lit, you know, for its size. But yeah, it's just like, I was always, especially the tree we had, because you could put on each branch individually. It wasn't like two halves or thirds of a tree. And I would just one branch at a time and then clip it on. And yeah, it took forever, but man, you could get so many lights on there. In fact, mine and Holly's first Christmas, we just had one tree, because our house was like 900 square feet and had 2,400 lights on one tree.
Oh, I've done that. Yes. And,
we were the same way. When anytime I turned the tree on, we had to open the front door, you know, even if it was like 30 degrees outside, to let the heat out, and it was still way too hot. And in fact, we learned pretty quick that if you wanted to use the microwave, we had to turn the tree off, because it would throw the breaker, because they were both on the same breaker. And so, but yeah, it was something else. But I don't think she knew what she was getting in for that Christmas. But it was a pretty tree. All colored lights, and which is a battle at our house, because I'm the only one that enjoys the colored lights.
So. Oh, I love colored lights. This one, for instance, behind me is colored lights. But then for the people who like the white lights, I then put in white twinkle lights on the inside of the tree, so it just shimmers as it's going around.
Yeah. Our main tree, it switches. It can be all color, all white, or both. And it's a nice compromise. So.
Yeah, that is a good compromise.
But guys, I really appreciate you joining me, especially last minute, to talk about trees and Christmas. It means a lot that she's able to hop on last second, and I really, really appreciate it. Let everybody know where they can find you.
We are on YouTube at Pepper Tree Villa. You can find us there. We're live every Monday night at 8 Eastern, 5 Pacific, with PTV Live. We start the show with a welcome. I mix a cocktail. We do movie reviews for Hallmark Channel. Right now, of course, it's Countdown to Christmas. Then we go to a commercial break where we show some vintage commercials. We come back and we are doing things like What's New at Trader Joe's, or a decorating tip for Christmas. And then we take another break. And then we come back from that, and Sherry is usually doing a craft segment, or we'll do a food demo at that point. So. It's a fun night, Monday nights for PTV Live. You can also find us on socials at Instagram and Facebook and Threads at Pepper Tree Villa.
All right. And all those links will be in the show notes and description, so you guys will be no more than a tap away. And I highly recommend you check out Pepper Tree Villa on Monday nights. It's a good time. It's become like our TV show we watch on Monday nights, you know, with put it on the TV and let it go. But it's wonderful. And for those in the chat, stick with us. We'll mix it up with you guys a little bit. For those listening to us on the podcast, we really appreciate you taking your time to join us. And if you ever get a chance, join us on a live stream. We'd love to see you there and hear what you got to say about our Christmas craziness around here. But until I see you guys again, remember, keep Christmas hope alive every day.